and welcome to Go Mode, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. I'm Timp.
I'm Dante.
And I'm Herfy Durfy.
Boys.
Sir.
Boys. I need you to be honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're all on face chat right now. We got face cams here.
Uh-huh. We're on FaceTime. Nice, oh, wait, no, that's trademark. We're copyrighted.
We're on Discord video chat. So you have a very clear view of my mug.
Mm-hmm.
I have clear views of yours as well. And I need to ask you, and I need you to be honest, how does my beard look?
So he right, brought dude. This up. Context, he brought this up already. And he says, so to give you the Timp story, it has been some angles I really like it, and I see it in lighting in other places, and I'm like, oh, this is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like either all in or all out. So I will say from experience of looking at it as you pan your head around back and forth that I have had my beard at that length or longer and I hate doing it. It always felt really blotchy, I guess, even though it was long, it wasn't very full. And, I feel like you're in the same boat as me. Not that it's bad, but it feels like for you, it's going to be more annoying to deal with than it's worth long term. Yeah, that's my opinion.
You said the word splotchy and that really resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling the splotchiness.
That's how mine is when it's long. So
yeah. So here's my opinion. I think we're all beard people, all three of us in various lengths. I think Dante, out of all of us three, has like the most well-groomed beard. I don't think I've ever seen him be on here with like a longer beard or like scragglier beard. At least it's never been like super noticeable to me. And then Timp is usually pretty well-groomed too. And I think you've seen me in like various states of disrepair for my beard. And I think you and me, we have, just like Dante said, the exact same problem. I really like my beard. I can show you guys pictures later on when it actually gets to the length that I want it to be at, which was like here-ish. Obviously, nobody who's listening can see this, but it's
like
been
an inch like and down, a half under your chin.
Down over my Adam's apple, I'd say maybe. Mm-hmm. And, it looked really nice and people complimented me on it and I really liked it. But the time that it took to get there and all the time in between now and it being that long was awful and looked horrible, at least to myself.
Yeah, I am constantly messing with this throughout the day. I'm always like, in my mind, I'm like a wise Confucius, you know, like,
yeah, I know.
Thoughtfully yes. Drawing my fingers across my whiskers, you know, but in reality, I know I just look like a, I don't know what I look like. Probably like meth head would not be too terribly far off.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
I don't think it really makes you yourself look like, you know, worth it. Just I don't know. The best way I can put it is it starts looking unkempt because it's just, you know, it's just a huge mess and you can't really, there's no way to really like style it or something. You know, there's some stuff that helps. And
like beard oils and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't have any of that because like Herf said, I usually have it more close cropped where it doesn't really matter one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I'm going to maintain this length, which, you know, it's probably like an inch or so off of my chin, something like that. And it's all across my face. So it's not like, it's not like it all comes down to the same point. It's like, if I turn sideways, you see like little bits like sticking mm-hmm. off and that's what really gets me. So if I'm going to stay at this length, I need to invest in like some beard oil or
one thing I can tell you, like, and depending on how you want to grow it out, it might not work for you. But one thing that really worked for me when I was growing it out is that area back here. If you keep that not as short, but if you like go in a diagonal and keep it at like an angle, so it's like a nice line here, it'll immediately make everything else look like more in order.
Mm.
Because those parts back here at the cheeks, those are the worst. Yeah, they look the most unkempt and they make you look like the worst pyramid that ever existed. Yeah, right?
Yeah, here it goes. Yeah, I'm pushing it up right now to illustrate that point.
But if you keep those kind of things that grow out longer than everything else from the beard, if you keep those kind of trimmed down, it helps.
Yeah. All right.
I think that'll be my next move.
I found an unkempt Dante beard picture that I will put in the channel for you guys so you guys could see what it used to be like. But yeah, nice. Like that. That's like awful for me. I think
that's a good length, though. I think
it was way too long.
Pretty full to me too. Like it doesn't look too splotchy. Well,
you know, I'm that guy, and you know, who probably had far too many zits as a kid, like right under his lip, and mm-hmm. picked at him. So it's like no hair grows like above like my chin. Yeah. So like you could see that there. It's like this bald chin. I got like four hairs that are just like super obnoxious. So I always have to shave mm-hmm. those off.
Do you have the mustache there? Is it just light?
It's very light in that particular photo. Mm-hmm. But I okay. have like it's my mustache has never been full either. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't grow a beard until I was like 22. I don't know. Now it's like I can do it, but yeah, it definitely doesn't have the kind of shape that I think a lot of people's has that I see. And I'm like, that's a good beard. You yeah. know, like I would love to rock a beard like that.
I definitely have that problem.
Yeah. I just looked at how long we've been talking about our own beards and I'm mortified. We must talk about A Link to the Past randomizer at once. So let's get right into it. So the first thing I wanted to update on was we mentioned near the end of the last episode that we talked a lot about SGL 2023. Mm-hmm. It's, of course, Speed Gaming Live. It's an in-person tournament for A Link to the Past randomizer, amongst a lot of other games. And we committed as a set of business owners, really, in kind of a weird way.
That we would take
non-profit owners, maybe, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's what you put on the resume.
Yes, exactly. That 501 CC. So decided to donate some money, and off mic, we agreed on the amount of $300. Mm-hmm. Well, I finally got around to making that donation in the name of Go Mode Podcast, and I was quite pleased to see that $300 donation just barely pushed us into first place. Mm-hmm. So that amongst a lot of other people's donations, which, you know, huge props to you if you, you know, heeded the call and stepped up and donated a little bit to that prize pool in our community. Clearly, a lot of people did that. So, you know, our little push plus some other contributions have now pushed it into first place, but it's a small margin. So I do still want to encourage folks, you know, if you've got a little bit of, you know, extra funds and you want to help promote this community and this game, donating to that prize pool is a great way to do it. Cause the last thing I would want is for, you know, second or third place to yeah. sneak back up on us.
And I know there was a quite substantial anonymous donation you know, shortly after our episode, so I know we jokingly told each other here in text to each other that we were going to take credit, that our episode helped inspire an amazing soul doing that.
And I will it's kind of hard to figure out because Maturino does say anonymous donations. So they might have like put all the anonymous donations that came in together, or it could have just been one big donation. We don't really know that, but I'm pretty sure that we were the reason for that donation or those donations coming in pretty obviously, right?
There's something so funny to me about like taking claim of that, of like, you know, being like, oh yeah, it's because of us, like it's not our money, all we did was like say some words. And also, even if we did inspire it, like literally who cares? But I don't know, it just cracks me up. I think it's so funny. I just wanted to give a quick update to that. Of course, as we said last time, if you are able to attend, all three of us are going to be there, a whole bunch of other really cool people from the community. We would love to meet you. You will be enriched by meeting all of the people that you play against. So if you can come out, hopefully you'll consider doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're also probably going to do something as a podcast. I don't know if we haven't really decided yet, but we definitely have decided that we want to do something, whatever that may be. And I can also, I haven't even told you guys this, so this is like a live reaction kind of thing.
I'm ready. But
I've told Rick that we are planning to do something again, but we haven't decided exactly what I've just told our listeners. And he said, hang on, let me quote him. I'll actually look this up because I thought it was really cool.
Quote your sources.
Let me look what he says.
This is Adirondack Rick, one of the admins of SGL Live, friend of the podcast.
He said, "You'll always have the support of the SG staff for this, especially three of us." So
nice.
we're definitely in there, guys. So we'll just have to figure something out, whatever we want to do. But there will be some podcast shenanigans.
I will. Yeah. also put out there, I'm hoping that I get one more Twitch payout before SGL. and the reason is I'm probably going to purchase some of those social media influencer microphones that are like these little square pieces you could put the little foam balls on or whatever. So they don't have like wind, like a pop filter. Anyway, I'm going to try and like just I can hook those to my phone. Apparently, that's why I want to get those. And I want to try and have those so I could just run around, talk to random people, get like 5 to 10 minute bites and like maybe get like mini recap episodes for like Spoiler Log or something, like just like obviously not edited very well, but just boom, here's a quick thing. This is what's happening this day. And then let people kind of like the next morning wake up and listen to that. I think that would be kind of cool. So I'm doing my best. We're going to try and make that happen.
I love that. Yeah. We'll talk more off mic about exactly what we want to do. We did a live show at the last one. I think that was, you know, that went pretty well. It was well attended. At the very least, we'll do something like that. But I think all of us just like to try to mix it up when we can. So we might do something different. We just don't know exactly what yet. So
yeah,
we'll keep working on that.
I might wear sleeves. We don't know.
I don't know about that one. I don't know if I want to live in that world.
It's true. Yeah. It's colder.
We're blue skying. There's no bad ideas, but first blush, not a big fan of that idea. All right. So League Season 6, Week 1 has concluded. Not that there's like a ton of, you know, to really get into about like, oh, who won their first two games and who lost theirs and who split. Like, you know, it's still very early in the league, but I did want to provide a little bit of an insight, you know, kind of a slice, if you will, into both Invitational and Open in the form of, you know, Dante and I just talking about our experiences so far in each league respectively. So, Dante, how did your first two races with Pugs go for your first week?
Due to life being complicated for our opponents, which is very understandable, it was harder to schedule than it was to potentially like just, you know, sit down and play rando, I think. We played Rando Kids, I think is their name now. And I wasn't really sure how that was going to go because I know that, you know, those guys are pretty good. We did get the 2-0, which was nice. Me and Andy played both of them. We played well. I kind of skimmed him back. I think we just had a little better coverage as far as like, you know, covering the world efficiently more so than they did. And that seemed to be the storyline, so to speak. Overall it's pretty good. Not a whole lot to say. I'll say from the admin side, it was a really smooth week one until we got to Sunday, and I played one race at 1 p.m. and then was doing admin discussion stuff with like mods and the admins literally almost until my next race at 6 p.m. and it was just bro, like, please. There's a lot of new faces in the league this year, which is great. And there's a lot of, you know, first timers, we'll say. So it's kind of like, you know, there's some hurdles to get through, but we're going to work through them.
Nice. When was the last time you had played before Sunday?
Before Sunday. So the better question is before the week before that, when me and Andy were practicing, like week of.
Okay.
Andy got back from, I think it was a vacation on Monday at the start of the week. And then we did like 5 practices maybe. And That was the extent. I think before that, it had been a month plus before, like, since I had actually like sat down and like done anything remotely competitive mindset about Rando, which was kind of nice. I was really worried. I'll be honest. I was really worried going in. I was like, the first practice, the rust was really showing. And I'm like, this is what the twilight of one's career looks like in something they care about. Like, that's kind of what went through my mind. But, you know, I felt like I played really well Sunday. Maybe some decisions could have been made better. But other than that, execution was on point, and I'll take it considering how little I've played. But hopefully we'll improve from there.
I can butt in real quick, just out of curiosity, without going off topic too much, The practices with Andy and now your league matches, was that then your kind of first foray into the fast ROM stuff?
Oh, well, league is running on slow ROM, so.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's right. Oh, okay.
You still have, have you played a fast ROM?
No, still have not. Okay. I'm not going to right now. If SGL decides to use it, like, you know, I know I'm part of the decision on that, but like, I'm not going to die on that hill, you know, with like talking with Herf later on stuff. So whatever SG and Herf thinks, like, since, you know, their staff, they're the ones in charge, whatever they think's the right move for the in-person tournament, we'll deal with that. I'm not too worried about it one way or another. I'll adapt if I have to.
Yeah, I just got to make sure I play one, at least one before SGL Live. And then I'm sure at that point it'll be like,
eh, it's obviously not guaranteed. And as Dante said, we'll talk about this, but I'm leaning more towards yes, since we also changed it for the online one. Once it came out, we had that in the rules. I'm not sure if that should really influence the in-person one. It's kind of hard to decide right now, to be honest, because with League playing on the slow ROM, and everything else been playing on fast ROM, including ladder, it's kind of, people are playing both, and I don't want to favor one group over the other. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that's gonna be a tough one. I don't envy y'all in your you know, the fact that you have to make a decision on that. But yeah, I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it, because, like I said, I mean, whatever it is what it is, and I think people are just gonna adapt to it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
We're all gonna have to switch eventually.
The worry in Herf's eyes right now. Let me tell you, he's gonna lose sleep. Distraught over this.
Exceptionally worried.
Long sleepless nights. Well, on the open side of things, of course, I'm a member of the Long Shots with Tyler Salt and Dr. Earworm, and it was myself and Doc for both races this last week. First one we had, we felt like we ran pretty well, but we were edged out by about 5 minutes or so. So we missed the route that our competitors found. And then last night we had our second one, and it was rough, to say the least, on our end. But somehow we ended up pulling out the win regardless. So it was weird, because we had one where we felt pretty decent about how we played and we got beat, and then one where we didn't feel so good about how we played but we won. So we've got like mixed emotions about our performance and our outcomes or whatever. But all in all, you know, going 1-1 in the first week, we're generally happy with that. And you know, we've got our matches scheduled for this week, which is Casual Boots. And we're just rocking right along.
How many are you planning on playing this year?
Oh, man, we have that fully figured out by this point. I'll have to go look at what we had decided to tell you exactly. I mean, I think I'm doing like one or two less than my teammates.
Okay.
The way that it's not like, you know, I'm just doing the minimum, but I'm also kind of letting them do a little bit more as a strategy because they're better than I am.
Sure. You know?
that was another thing I wanted to comment on is,
are you piloting this year?
I am. Yeah. So I've already practiced a couple times. And I would say there's at least a few more in my future before week four, but yeah, it was decided, you know, since they're better runners, I've never piloted before, but it just makes more strategic sense for me to learn so that they're the ones playing and they can get in more like low percentage situations. So yeah, that's what we're going to do for that. I am in for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm in for 6.
Okay.
Across the 7 weeks. Yep. And two of them just have already been done. So
yeah.
But yeah, with the co-op seeds, basically, you know, we did a practice, Doc and I, and what we discovered was happening was basically Doc was just figuring out what I should do and telling me what to do. And I was doing it. And I thought about it. And on the one hand, I was like, I feel a little bit guilty, like I should be more of a contributor. But then I was like, when you've got, like, you know, Michael Jordan on a team with Scottie Pippen, like, Scottie Pippen passes the ball to Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen is really good, but like, he's passing the ball to Jordan because, like, that's a legitimate strategy. You go with your studs and you like give them the ball and you let them score. And that's what we do.
I think it's more of like a Ron Harper. If I'm, or like, you know, like the point guard or somebody, you know, Ron Harper was good, but he wasn't a star. Now, if you talk to Scottie Pippen, he's, you know, I'm going to get sports here for a second. He's got an ego too, and he was good in his own right. So, you know, I think, you know, Doc and Tyler Salt could fight out for your team on who's Jordan and Scottie Pippen. But, you know,
I mean, I went broad with it. Like, if I really wanted to get inside sports, I'd say, like, you know, Mike Tolbert and Jonathan Stewart from like the late 2010s Panthers era football.
But, okay,
you know, I'm trying to speak to a wide audience here. I know we don't have a lot of big sports heads amongst our listeners, so I'm going with the
Michael Jordan throw the basketball in the hole, and that's
yeah. And also, I mean, you said Scottie Pippen was arrogant. I'm arrogant too. You know, I'm a real a-hole. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, definitely. That's what everyone knows about Tim.
I'm always tooting my own horn. Cool. Well, yeah, that's league week one. Of course, we got more matches to come. We'll give you more updates as the league progresses. So next up, we have a tournament announced not too long ago. The registration is going to be open from October 1st to the 14th. So next week is when you'll jump into this. It is the ALTTPR Lockout Bingo Tournament. So where to begin with this? The concept of Lockout Bingo. Does one of you want to try to explain, you know, what this concept is? We've actually done this before at GMP, but maybe I'll mention that later.
Herf, I know what blackout bingo is, but I don't know what lockout is. So I'll let,
I think I know what it is, but you guys can feel free to correct me if I'm saying something wrong. But I believe it's basically everyone knows what a bingo is. There's a bingo card generated and it has a bunch of different goals on it for the people to fulfill in the game. And you're trying to score a bingo, basically. It depends on how it's defined. It's, you know, sometimes it's a number of goals. Sometimes it's you have to get it in a line like an actual bingo card. That's kind of the theory behind the bingo. The lockout bingo is once you've completed a goal, it means that the other person cannot complete that goal anymore to get their bingo condition. So you can kind of, you know, it kind of is part of the strategy to be like, all right, well, I guess, you know, I can see that my opponent is only two away from his goal. So maybe I can complete one of those goals that are in his way and mess up his bingo.
Lock him out.
Him out, basically, and give myself another chance. So that's the idea behind a lockout bingo.
Yeah, exactly. So like I mentioned, we have done this at GMP. I want to say it was the 2021 Mentor Tournament post-tournament admin race. Our admins / mods at the time had decided to get together and race one another as a fun way to kind of like end the tournament. And they did a bingo. I don't know if it was lockout bingo. It might've just been a blackout or it might've been actual bingo, but they came to us as the host and we generated different goals basically for that card at the time. And we knew it was sort of an exhibition race. So we picked, you know, silly ones. I remember one being like, I don't think this one got used, but it was like have a 1 minute sword fight with a guard or something like that was like one of the goals, you know?
Oh my gosh.
So I think actually y'all both vetoed that because you said it would be too difficult. And that was my suggestion.
Probably,
but
yeah.
I don't remember the others. Yeah. But anyway, so we actually have the list of goals that they're going to be using for both the group stage and the bracket stage of this tournament. So I thought it'd be fun to maybe go through some of these and call out some of our favorites. And these are very short, but they do define them in more detail in the rules document, which we'll link in the description. But, you know, we don't necessarily want to get into that for every single one of these. Do y'all see any that are calling out to you on, say, the group one to start with?
I'm looking through them. I mean, there's stuff you'd expect, you know, complete three dark world dungeons or obtain a bunch of crystals or open a number of big chests or something. Nothing really. I mean, this one maybe burn a floating stealtho skull. I think that's one that's not something, you know, you kind of have to remember where can I find a floating skull? How do I burn it? You know, it's got to be the fire up. Maybe Bombos counts. That's kind of something that probably consume an apple, I think, is an interesting one. That's one you can probably get pretty quickly.
Let me just
rapid fire some of these. Pull a tongue statue in any dungeon. Lift the pot in Hookshot Fairy Cave. Enter Desert Palace using the book. Play both Light World chest games. So it's stuff like that. Some of it is location specific and some of it is more actions that could be completed maybe in like a set amount of places or maybe like anywhere. But I think what's fun about a tournament like this is that it really encourages a wide knowledge of the game and especially routing, not just from chest to chest, which is the kind of routing we're all used to, but from like situation to situation, or like enemy to enemy, or place to place, to try, you know, in service of trying to complete 13 goals as quickly as possible. Because basically, I think that's, I believe that's how it works, is there's 25 spaces. So once you hit 13, you've officially hit, you know, more than 50% mm-hmm. and you have won.
I was going to say the positioning of the goals on the bingo board might also play a role in what you have to do or what you might want to do.
I looked at the Discord real quick, and mm-hmm. it seemed like somebody asked that question and the answer was no. Lines actually don't matter for this particular, hence the lockout thing.
Yeah, right. That's probably why it's lockout. Makes sense. But I think near the end of the list is a couple more like interesting quote unquote goals, like die to catfish or to Aghanim. I think that's an interesting choice because, you know, Aghanim or catfish, or take the maiden outside of TT and then defeat blind. That's also interesting. So you kind of have to take her outside and then you got to go back. And I think you might have to get her again once you go outside.
You do.
So it's a very big time loss. It's a time
consuming one. Mm-hmm. So their strategy as to like, do I want to waste my time doing that one, or do I want to go do something else? But, you know, if you're at Thieves, it's like, well, that's a guaranteed one you can get. I don't even know how you necessarily like practice for this. I think, again, it's just like, it's just a test. It's like a pop quiz of your game knowledge, and you're not really going to know how to do it until you like try one of these mm-hmm. for yourself, sort of thing. Danti, how would you approach this if you like were forced to enter this tournament? Like, what would be your like prep, or would you not prep at all? Would you just go in and see what happens?
Well, I will speak from experience. I, you know, have played in the Mystery Pog tournament many times, and one year we had doors plus bingo, I think, as options, and we got I rolled a bingo versus Airy. And needless to say, I got raffle stomped because it was entrance. But you can't really prep for this. You just have to know what your goals are, like potentially going in. And then you just have to have the knowledge and route on the fly, figure things out, hope you get there before your opponent does, since it's a lockout. Mm. Think about what's time consuming, what's not. But you could practice if you just want to play one just to see how one goes, you know, like that's how you could practice. But there's not like a regimen per se with these. A lot of them will come naturally, like pulling the tongue statue. Like you're going to do that if you icebreaker, like period. Mm-hmm. So like that's something to keep in mind. A lot of them are kind of free, like have a drink, you know, you get a potion, just down it like right then, you know. 11 hearts total or red mail, you're probably going to get that really quickly. You know, depending on what the pool is, you know, 3 crystals seems quick. Open 6 big chests, that's a little bit of a time sink. But, you know, if you're the higher execution runner, there's a potential that you could do that if you just started dungeon diving like from the start. I think this is 80 keys is what the setting said in the doc. So maybe not. So, you know, it's going to be a little tougher if it is like the type of 80 keys that's in the doc, but or, you know, that they've used the previous main tournaments. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and the pay for hints from 3 NPCs, like you kind of have to know where they are, considering it's not entrance. You're not going to like magically find them. You're going to have to go to like, say, Dark Sink, Mireshed, or I can't even remember where the other the what's his face in. I think he's free, but he might be, you may have to pay for him. The cucumber broccoli in pod. Like that's another one. finding all these storytellers. And I want to say one's at Dark World Flute 5. I could be wrong there too. Who knows? Mm-hmm. This shows what I know. Not a lot as far as bingo goes and this type of thing.
Yeah. Well, let me just clarify a few things that have come up. So one thing that's interesting is this will use fast ROM. The mode is actually going to be fad keys with starting boots. The bingo board will remain the same 25 goals on the card throughout the duration of the group stage. The bingo board must be visible on your stream during the full duration of your races. Let's see. And then all the normal like kind of tourney stuff that you would expect. But I'm looking for more about the way that the lockout bingo works, since we've had some questions.
Oh, no, I mean, that's kind of how it is. Herf described it.
Yeah, first to 13 is correct. Yeah, I just want to confirm that. Yep.
Okay.
And like to your point of like open six big chests, somebody is going to have to do that in order for the game to be over. So like you said, if you're the higher execution.
Not always. I mean, the thing is these are all the goals, right? The bingo card is randomly generated based off of this pace bin. You don't know what your tiles are going to be until the race is starting. Like, you're going to get your bingo card generated randomly and then your seed generated randomly. So you have to figure out the bingo card while playing. Like, you can't. So if I'm UTIMP, I can't say, all right, I'm going for 3 Dark World dungeons. Like, that may not even be on your card. Like, you got to wait and see what the card has.
Well, but there's only 25 options listed as group goals, and there's 25 spaces on the bingo card.
Well, I'm looking at the bracket, and there's 38. So
got it. So I think groups, it says, sorry, hang on.
Groups may always be the same.
I think that's the situation. Yeah. During the bracket stage of the tournament, the goals on the bingo board will no longer be static and playoff goals will be added to the pool of goals. So in group stage, you actually could literally just be like, okay, this is my route. These are the 13 I wanted to do. Cause you know, for sure, they're always going to be the same every time. Right. You are correct that you don't necessarily have to do one because you could do your 13 before your opponent does 12, meaning there will be some that are left undone. So you are correct about that. So you could, you could straight up like study a route that you want to do and just do that every single time in groups. And just if someone locks you out, you have to improvise a little bit. But then you get to brackets and now you truly do have to think on your toes because a goal that you thought you were going to do might not even be on your card anymore. Okay. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that. And I think it's very interesting. I don't know if I necessarily am going to participate just with, you know, everything I got going on or whatever, but I love the idea of it. And, I'm really excited to see how it turns out.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a lot of fun. I like, you know, the casual tournament stuff, you know.
It's also something that's not like, you know, another variation of it's this tournament, but this time you have starting boots, right? So it's something new-ish. I mean, everyone knows what a bingo is, but it's at least a little fresh.
It's also fun that, you know, a seed could end without Ganon. Like, it just ends and it's like, that's the last goal. And then you're just done. You're just
I mean, they probably all will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's a goal to defeat Ganon.
Yeah, which I didn't. It could very well be. I don't know. But cool. Well, yeah, again, that is the ALTTPR Lockout Bingo Tournament. Good luck, I guess, to all of the admins and then everyone who chooses to participate. There is going to be a hard cap of initially 32, and then if there's more interest, 64. So if this is something you want to be involved with, again, registration's October 1st through 14th. We're going to put all the links in the description for you. So put it on your calendar and be sure to register when the time comes. Speaking of tournaments, we've had a couple finally wrap up. So I've been diligently checking into every tourney we've ever mentioned. Even though we don't talk about them, I do go back into each challenge or start.gg or whatever and just check on how they're doing. And we were charting like 7 of these at one time. And 2 of them have finally concluded. And those are 80 Keys and the 6th Francophone tournament. So does one of you want to do the honors of announcing our 2 winners? Or maybe one of you each each? Okay.
I'll start with 80 Keys. So Gamachu repeating as the winner of the 80 Keys tournament. So GG's to Gamma. 2nd was Kaide Rukawa. And then 3rd and 4th, I'm not sure if they actually had or tied for 3rd. Did they have an actual
third? I don't think so. I didn't see anything about one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see anything on the bracket either when I looked earlier today, but it was Schulzer and Killer App. So GG's to them as well for top 4. 80 Keys, obviously long game, hard game, does require a bit of gambling near the end, I think, sometimes, most often than not. But yeah, huge GG's.
Yeah.
GG's. And then for the Francophone tournament, we've got Prior 57 as the winner. And now that I'm thinking of it, since it's a Francophone tournament, it might be a Prière or something like that. Or Prière 57, for all I know, since it's a capital R at the end. But GG's to you. And I'm not sure we don't have
second. Yeah, sorry, I've got it up right now. Second place was Rywek.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah,
and
Kefka and Driki were the third place tie.
Third was Driki, fourth was Kefka. I see a little note here.
Yes.
Thank you, Francophone admins, for making that very easy. Yeah. Awesome.
So cool. GGs to those guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. And on to sadder news. We've got another one of these to report a banning. I will admit this was not a name that was familiar to me, but I understand they were a lot more active in the German community. So this individual, Herf, just go ahead. I just want to.
Well, I personally also don't know too much about the guy. His name was Jaspiele Willi. He was apparently a relatively well-known and good, or probably still is, I don't want to make any assumptions, NMG runner. Mm-hmm. And he's dipped into Rando not too long ago, but he's been playing for a while and he started posting like very good results that seemed a little fishy apparently to some people. So the Targ admins did their due diligence, appointed a cheating investigation crew or squad of I think five people is, and they put their heads together, went to work, and then they released I want to commend this basically because they released a very transparent like
investigation and
document
report.
A whole report about the investigation. They wrote up a whole document about their reasoning why they think he cheated. They linked time to the VODs so people timestamped VODs and stuff so people can look for themselves and make their own opinions and stuff like that. So I definitely want to commend them for that. It's always unfortunate when something like this happened. As I said, I personally didn't really know the guy. I'm not too involved with the German community as a whole, I have to admit. But he was apparently quite well known and around a bunch. And it's never a good time when someone gets banned.
Yeah, I had heard that, a lot of people, when this came out, some people I'm friends with were just kind of like, dang, that was unexpected. Hanging out like in Twitch chat with this guy, in his streams, him being in other people's streams, very good dude. It goes to show that like anybody, could succumb to temptation, we'll say. Yeah. He's also like, as Herf said, a good NMG runner. Like his execution's good. Mm-hmm. He's not a terrible player just sucks. I think Fear said it best on 216. Just stop. Like, please don't do it. Like, because it sucks for everybody. It sucks for you. It sucks for us. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't do it.
It's it's probably always silly to speculate about reasons and stuff. And I don't want to put any words or, give any ideas that might not be true. But I can totally see someone being a relatively good NMG player and wanting their execution to carry them to better results in Rando, but since it's a little different in Rando and execution isn't everything, it starts getting frustrating real quick because you're putting up the times and the good performances in NMG, but then in Rando you're like middle of the pack and it's like, damn, this is really getting to me. So I don't want to say I can understand it, but it's definitely being good at NMG doesn't necessarily protect you from as Dante said, succumbing to temptation or something like that.
I'll put this out there too. Like, I think a lot of people subconsciously do think that if I win a rando tournament, like any of them, then I'm going to be popular. Like, and I know a lot of times, like someone who is potentially like we'll call popular or favorable in people's eyes wins rando tournaments, but it's not always the case. And I don't know the way people become, if you're trying to be popular, like you just got to be friendly with people and, just be yourself is my take. Yeah. Winning a random tournament, sure, it feels good, but if you win it by illegitimate means, I'm pretty sure it's not going to feel good. Like internally, it's going to, I would assume like if you have any form of a conscience, it would weigh on it, I don't know. Just don't, winning or losing a random tournament is not going to make or break you. in your real life. Yeah. I mean, Andy, using him as an example, is a Twitch streamer by his job, and losing out a couple times in the first round of the main tournament did not financially burden him to the point where he was just sunk or something. Mm. So like, just be you, like, and just go have fun. That's what most people are trying to do, and that's what everybody needs to do, I think.
Right. Absolutely. I was, before we were recording, I got this idea. I was like, oh, maybe I should make a little musical sting for whenever we talk about bands. Please don't make it get to that point. Don't make me write that. I mean, you know, I'll do a good job and I'll have a lot of fun, but I don't want to get to that point. Don't make me do that.
This ain't 2018 anymore.
Yeah, I don't have time for that. I'm not saying I won't do it, but I'm saying I don't want it to get to that point. So
if I was still on council and you did that, I would probably have to remove myself. It's been a lot easier talking about things like this now, I guess, since I have no inside information or mm-hmm. anything, so I could just say whatever's on my mind.
That's
the way I prefer. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that'll be a song on like the Rando Greatest Hits album that'll come out at some point? It's going to be like number 8, the Cheater Jingle, and it'll just be like a 8-second song that Tim wrote.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking so much lyrics. I was. If anything, I probably would have taken the ALTTP like sound set or whatever, and mm-hmm. done the. I don't even know the name of it. I think it's from like old like cop shows in the 70s or something. But it's like bum 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 bum. I probably would just use that. So I mean, don't make me do it.
Let's not.
Okay.
I think you sound like you almost want to, and that scares
it
me.
It sounds like it's already written, basically.
No, I'm not gonna do it. All right, GMP community updates. Okay, so we had applications for GMP server and also mentor tournament mods that were open. We've gotten some really great applications there. If you're listening to this episode, the official time to get your application in has closed. But if you like didn't realize it and you want to try to sneak one in last minute, I guess we can leave it open for a day or so. So we will leave it open for one more day as you're listening to this, and then we will close it up. But then soon after that, probably Thursday or Friday, we're going to get together as an admin team, go through all the applications, and then we will be reaching out to some folks and communicating with them from there. And definitely expect to see lots of activity and changes and new stuff that we'll be trying in our server. Maybe related to mentor tournament stuff, maybe different kind of stuff, just community activities, ways to engage with this game that's not always just racing another person, kind of like League or this new tournament, just looking for new ways to engage with one another and play some rando. So thanks to everyone who has applied. Be on the lookout in your DMs for some communication from us. And to everyone else, just watch. Get excited.
Get hype.
Mm-hmm. The most unconfident get hype demand that's ever been rendered.
Please clap. As
pulling a straight up jab. Oh, it feels bad, man.
Oh, boy.
But no, seriously, super excited. Okay. And then the other thing we had was the form to submit feedback from the mentor tournament. I guess I accidentally didn't include the link to do that when I first released the episode. And for a good like 4 or 5 days, I was like, no responses. Huh? I guess everyone's just like cool with everything. No positive or negative feedback. And then finally someone, I think it was Bidey, actually was like, hey, so where's that form? I was looking forward to submitting some feedback, and I went and looked, and it had not been posted. So mm-hmm. I posted it with a announcement ping and said, sorry. And I will leave it up for a little bit longer. So as you're listening to this episode, check the description. It will definitely be there this time. I pinky swear. And I wanted to also say thank you to everyone who has submitted their feedback. There's been a lot of really good, positive feedback, constructive feedback. I saw at least one idea that really intrigued me that I want to explore for next year. So we are reading those. We are listening, and we appreciate the feedback. And if you would like to render your feedback, then check the form.
Yeah, I just looked at the results, and I mean, granted, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I did a control F for mad, and I got worried because there was a result, but it was not it was like a segment of a full
like,
word. So
I had a mad good time.
It was like a three letters of like a longer word,
like made, like part of the word made or something.
But yeah, I just thought it was really funny because I was like, oh no, someone was mad. I'm sure someone is. I haven't looked at this, but I need to.
I didn't see anyone who was mad. I won't say it was all like 100%, you know, flowers and roses and positive, which is good. You know, we legitimately want the feedback to try to improve. You know, we've had four rounds of this between mentor tournaments in the past. We've always tried to use the feedback to improve. So we really do want to hear, you know, warts and all, kind of what your thoughts were. So, get them in there. And then the last thing I wanted to say, in case you missed it, we had a suggestion from the community. I think it was Mr. Angry Pants said, hey, you know, it's really cool that you guys interviewed the Gold Sword.
No, he demanded. I'm calling him out. He demanded. And I was like, bro, I don't know if we could do this because we, you know, they didn't agree to that. And, you know, luckily 2 out of 3 did when I decided to try it. So,
yeah. So Dante stepped up and said, you know what? Yes, let's interview the winners of the other brackets, extended an invitation to the Tempered Master and Fighter Sword brackets, and Runil and TDK accepted and stepped up, and Dante had a chance to interview them on Spoiler Log. So we'll put a link to that episode in the description. But yeah, just another example of taking community feedback and running with it and not just letting it, you know, fall on deaf ears. So. Sweet. All right. Biweekly seed time. Last time we did the co-op AD keys. I wonder how many people actually took advantage of
there
the
was,
co-op.
There were no keys in the co-op, by the way.
Oh, right. No, I said the wrong thing. Co-op all dungeons, not keys. And that's what we generated, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I had to check myself right before I posted it. Yeah, to make sure I said the right thing.
I would like to say that it's probably a good idea to do the AAD keys league mode, as it is going to be right around the corner during this 2-week period for the biweekly seed, we'll say. That's an option.
Very good. Okay, so not the last one was not keys, but we're looking at actually doing the AAD keys for the next one because it's coming up for league.
Yeah, might as well, right?
Yeah. I like it. And just looking at last week, we had 11 total participate, and I'm seeing at least 2 or 3 sets of identical in-game times, which I guess they averaged theirs together. Probably. What we suggested was each to use the same collection rate and put your own times, but this works too. Whatever. It's, you know, we're easy here. It's whatever you want. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So cool. All right. Well, so we got the next one figured out. Very good. And well, I guess that just leaves wrap up. All right, so you can email us at gomodepodcast@gmail.com. I don't think it's that funny anymore. It's just our email address at this point.
Yeah, it works.
Smiling. Yeah.
I think it's a smile funny, but not a ha-ha funny.
You can leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify or any other place. You can also do what listener Perky Quirky Jerky did and stop by my stream. And leave a nice note. So PQJ, I'll abbreviate them, did that while I was racing one of the league races and just left a note being like, hey, I emailed back a little while ago and still listen to the cast. Just want to say good job with everything. And I'll tell you, that just makes my day. I love the, you know, little comments like that. So any way that you want to render your feedback truly is fine. And there are so many ways to do it. We're all extremely online. So
it's true.
for better or for worse. Yeah. I mean, you know, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, it's absolutely true. We also have a Patreon. If you want to support us financially, it really helps with the editing. We're able to take that money and do things like, you know, donate to the prize pool for SGL, which kind of raises the overall capital of the game community, you know. So we try to invest that wisely. And we greatly appreciate any financial support that anyone feels they want to give. Also, I feel like just saying every now and then, you don't have to do it at all. You can continue to listen for free and we will still love you and appreciate you. So if you're not able to contribute financially, maybe consider leaving a review or telling your friend about the show. And that's still super helpful. And we absolutely appreciate you. Okay, it's that time. It's time for shout outs. Does anybody have one geared up and ready to go? I think I have to think for a second.
Oh, man.
I'll just go with what I always do and talk about the games that I've played recently. One being Lies of P, which is a new Souls-like game from, I believe, Korean developer. Pretty fun, kind of a mix between Bloodborne and Sekiro, I guess. Very linear, turns into absolute horse crap about 70% through. I was really frustrated at the end.
Oh, dang.
And I hated it. But it was also kind of my own fault because I didn't really engage with the game mechanics the way I should have. I kind of, because there's no visual representation of like enemy stamina or durability or whatever, you don't really understand that guarding and perfect guarding is a very important and integral point to the game. So I was just dodging a lot and playing it like a Dark Souls game where you just iframe through the attacks. And it worked for like 70% of the game. And then suddenly bosses started doing attacks that are just undodgeable, that you have to guard or perfect guard. Mm. And I got wrecked. And it really frustrated me until I realized what I did wrong. Mm-hmm. And then it was still hard and a bunch of crap. So it was good, but eh.
Overall passing grade, but... Definitely yeah, it was
like, I don't know, like an 8 or a 7 out of, between like a 7.5 out of 10, maybe, something like that.
That's pretty good.
I mean, it's better than most Souls-like ripoffs that come out and try and fail horribly, but it's still got its issues.
Yeah, I've heard some good things about
that. Without spoiling, I had heard that the ending cutscene was worth it.
Really?
That's what I heard.
I'm not going to spoil a whole lot. There's three endings that you can get, and two of them are nearly identical, except for what like some person says to you. And the ending that I got was this. I defeated the end boss. I kneeled down to this person that was lying there dying. And the person said to me, "I knew it. You're just a useless puppet." And then the credits rolled. And I'm like, what the... Whoa. What was that? Thanks for nothing. So, you know, I wasn't very satisfied with the ending, but maybe I watched the other one. So maybe the one that actually, you know, is an actual ending is a little better, but meh. Yeah,
maybe you got to go low to save.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm no, done with the
that's
game.
That's fair.
I've moved on to
you don't know anything. Yeah, fair. JT, do you got one queued up?
I can do a couple just real quick. F-Zero 99 on the Switch has been a lot of fun. I've been playing that quite a bit. I know people are tired are saying that the remakes with Nintendo are starting to get tiresome. But yeah, I'm having fun playing that because it's like mega risk, mega reward sometimes with the boost system in it. So yeah, worth it. I'll tell at this point, I think we've got like a minute or two, so I'll tell a brief Beast of the East recap. I did not participate in that tournament. I just streamed it. The stream was great. Being on commentary for 11 hours was actually kind of fun with like minimal food and bathroom breaks. I can say this because, well, they'll probably find someone who was on this thing and say that, go listen to Dante talk crap about you. But me and like one or two other people that floated in and out on comms basically carried the commentary for that. There was a lot of memes, and I was, it's hard to have memes when there's a minute and a half match going on. You got to be like focused on that right then. Cause it's literally a minute and a half until like for one song, you know? Mm-hmm. But that was good. On the way there, my car broke down. I heard a pop, and then it was like, suddenly car is making crazy noises. I thought I blew a tire, but like I didn't go flying off the road. So that was good. Long story short, I somehow ejected a spark plug out of my engine. This was in the daily car. Don't worry. This wasn't in the stream car, as I call it, for the dance games. but luckily it wasn't too expensive to repair. It took like 2 or 3 weeks to find somebody that I felt like I would trust in the area to work on it. And they got it fixed in 2 days. And I was like, all right, cool. And I should be good to use that to drive to SGL from what I understand. So that's pretty good. But yeah, cool. Byte was fun. Made it home in one piece. Didn't get sick from Byte. And yeah, that's about it.
Nice. Yeah, give me a link that I can put in the description. I'm sure you probably got some from the streams. Maybe a highlight or the full thing or whatever you decide.
So, there's a YouTube playlist. I'll look it up here.
Perfect. Yeah.
But we highlighted all the matches, and then there's like the full stream. So, yeah.
Cool. Sweet. Okay. My shout out this week is going to be The Amazing Race. Very possible I've shouted this out before because I've been watching
it for a while.
I was
about to say, I feel deja vu right now.
Very possible, but I will say the new season is coming back on. So my normal rule is like if I ever maybe do a shout out twice, it's because it's relevant at the second time. And that is the case this week. The Amazing Race is coming back. I think Wednesday, the night that this episode comes out. But if you're not familiar, it's a show that's been on CBS since like 99 or 2000 or something. And it's teams of two, usually like 11. There's going to be 13 this year that start in one location in America. And then they have to travel all the way around the world until they get back. And at each leg of the race, there's eliminations. So the last team that makes it to each leg is, you know, eliminated. And I'm probably most of you know this. And if you don't, really just like Google it and check it out. But it's a legitimately great show. I love the places that they go and it just like being able to see them, just even like the background shots or like the incidental shots between like challenges and things are just like breathtaking. It's basically the way that my wife and I see the world is like by watching The Amazing Race. And, you know, we're making a list in our heads of like places that where we want to eventually go based on, you know, footage from this show. But it's legitimately entertaining. And I would recommend checking it out. If you've never seen it, this could be a really good season to watch for the first time. So,
okay.
Cool. All right.
Cool.
Well, I want to try to get a sub hour, so I'm going to go ahead and get us wrapped up here. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back again in 2 weeks with another episode. On behalf of my co-host, Tanti and Herfy Durfy, I've been Tim. Let's go ahead and mirror out.